Shiloh to build a temple. In the everlasting covenant made with David, it is declared of his immortal son by the Lord, saying, "He shall build a house for my name." David wished to execute this great national work, but was forbidden. It was afterwards accomplished by Solomon, and in this he eminently typified the greater than Solomon, who is to construct a similar edifice, only on a vastly more magnificent scale. This will appear from the following testimony. After Solomon's temple was laid in ruins, and while the Jews, after their return from Babylon, were erecting a new one upon the site of the old, the word of the Lord came to the prophet, saying, "Behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit upon and rule upon his throne, and shall be a priest upon his throne. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord." Let the reader turn to the texts, and he will have no doubt as to the person styled the Branch. The Melchizedek son of David, then, is to build the millennial temple in Jerusalem to the name of Yahweh. And as the Tyrian Gentiles aided Solomon to rear his edifice, so those who are far off from Jerusalem, where the prophecy was delivered, are to cooperate in the erection of Shiloh's, which is to be a house of prayer for all nations, when the Lord shall plant the heavens, and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, "Thou art my people." If the reader wish to know more about the temple to be built by Shiloh in Jerusalem, he can consult Ezekiel. The description comes in between the Battle of Armageddon, in which Nebuchadnezzar's image is broken to pieces on the mountains of Israel, and the earth shining with the glory of the Lord. The first 9 verses of the 43rd chapter show that the era of the temple described is when Shiloh dwells in the midst of the children of Israel for ever, and his holy name they shall defile no more. This is conclusive, for ever since their exodus from Egypt until the present time, they have incessantly defiled the Lord's name. But the prophecy contemplates a period when they shall do it no more. When the Lord Jesus shall sit upon the throne of his father David as high priest of the nation, and has dedicated the temple to the Most High, what then? Many people shall go and say, "Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house, or temple, of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. The sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, and there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts."